So we will have some talk till 4:45 at 5 o'clock. And then 5 to 7 you have time for chanting. So I am very happy to be here with all of you. So who all have come? I am seeing Divadev Prabhu Vishal here from mighty BHU. Then KGP. Surat Kala also devotees are going to come, I think. So happy to see so many bright faces here. Srila Prabhupada will be so thrilled to see this group of committed and serious devotees. Srila Prabhupada always wanted Indians to take lead in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So we had a camp in Pune where we every morning we speak a few minutes about chanting in order to rejuvenate our consciousness so that we can chant with full attention. In Nectar Devotion, Rupa Swami says there are two things that one should focus in spiritual life. One is the knowledge about the Absolute Truth, another one is the faith in the same knowledge. Acquiring knowledge is one thing, but having faith in that knowledge is a different thing altogether. It is very easy to acquire knowledge, or probably it's not very easy, it may be a little difficult to acquire knowledge. But far more difficult is to develop faith in the knowledge that we have acquired. The knowledge about Krishna Tattva, the Sambandha Jnana, or the Abhideya Jnana, what we acquire, or the Prayojana Jnana. The knowledge. That is why you find in the story of South Indian Brahman, South Indian Brahman, he was not having actually so much knowledge. He was reading Bhagavad Gita. He was misspelling many of the shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. At the same time, there were other Brahmins who were surrounding him who were apparently intelligent. They could pronounce Sanskrit in a very spashta is very clear pronunciation. They could clear the Sanskrit verses very clearly, they could pronounce. And they were apparently intelligent from the eyes of the common public. Whereas South Indian Brahman, he could not pronounce the verses so well. And he was misspelling, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was surprised how this person, although he is not able to read so well, he is still crying tears. So when he inquired, then Lord Chaitanya came to know that this person has captured the essence of what the scriptures are saying. That he has a great attraction for Lord Krishna, who is riding the chariot of Arjuna as a gesture of his love for his own devotee. Lord Chaitanya told him, you have attained the essence of the scriptures. You have nothing more to attain. On the other hand, all the learned Brahmins, they were rejected. Actually, in all our bhakti literatures, if you see, often the acquisition of knowledge for the sake of knowledge is criticized. We should not acquire knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We have to acquire knowledge for the sake of enhancing devotion. Otherwise, acquiring knowledge for the sake of knowledge simply makes a person falsely proud. Like there is a pastime of Yajnik Brahmins. These Yajnik Brahmins, they were very famous for performing sacrifices. And they are all absorbed, sitting together and performing the sacrifice. When Krishna Balaram sent some couples to carry some prasad for Krishna Balaram, and the Yajnik Brahmins don't even pay any heed to these small covered boys. They just ignore them. And the covered boys come back to Krishna, morose. So Krishna tells them, the beggars cannot be choosers. If you are a beggar, you should be detached. Of course, you have the right to beg someone. If they are not giving any food, you should not feel morose. But then, Krishna Balaram told the covered boys, Now you better go to the wives of the Brahmins. They are all my devotees. They will give you some prasad. So when they went and asked the wives of the Brahmins, the wives of Brahmins had never seen Krishna before, ever before, not even once. They had only heard about him. They had heard his glories, they had sung his glories, they had remembered him in their heart, and they genuinely loved him. They were pure devotees of Krishna. So as soon as they heard, for the first time, they are going to see Krishna face to face, in large plates, they filled up with all types of varieties of prasad, and they arrived there for us to feed Krishna and Balaram. So when Krishna Balaram saw them, they were very pleased, and these women were also considering that their life has attained all perfection. Now Krishna gave them a blessing that now you have done your service for me and all my devotees. Now you better go home. Actually, they had no plan of going home. They thought that we will be with the Lord forever. The Lord said, you have to go home and perform your worldly duties also. You cannot ignore them. And now when you go back, you will see your husbands will receive you very warmly. They will not be upset with you. Although it is naturally expected that husbands will be wild on the wives if wives leave the homely duties and go away. So when they went back, not only the husbands received the wives nicely, but with great respect. They were saying that, we are Yajni Brahmins, but we are simply foolish, they said. Because the Yajna Purusha has come in the forest in the neighborhood, but we ignored him in the name of doing Yajna. What a foolish thing it is. Just like, say, a wife of an army officer. She is all the time keeping the photo of the husband and worshipping the photo, putting garland for the photo and everything. When the husband returns from the army, he is battering the door. And she is not even going and opening the door. She is simply seeing the photo. Now a servant is opening the door and he is coming in. And if she is not offering him respect, simply worshipping the photo, how foolish it would be, isn't it? Similarly, here Brahman said, Lord Vishnu is called as Yajnavai Vishnu. Yajnavai Vishnu means one, the Lord Vishnu who receives all the offerings that we offer in a yajna. So we were actually offering this sacrifice for your pleasure only. And then when you yourself came, we could not recognize you. You were so foolish that we were... Of course, they didn't tell the Lord, they were telling the wives. The wives were coming back. So we were worshipping Krishna here, but we somehow or other became blinded by our pride that comes from being an expert reciter of the Vedic hymns. That we became simply blinded. We could not see when Krishna came in this form. So now they were telling the wives, you are all very fortunate, because although you are not very learned in the Vedic hymns, nor can you recite like us, nor can you know all the specifications of how the yajna should be performed. Despite all this, you have already attained the purpose of your life. You have seen Krishna face to face and you have served him. So you don't have anything else to attain in life. And then the Brahman told the wives, now just as you took darshan of the Lord and came, so we also are thinking now, better go and take his darshan, bow down and seek forgiveness from him. So they were all getting ready, preparing, all the Brahmins. When they were about to go, again they decided not to go. Because they were afraid of Kamsa. They thought that if we go to Krishna, and if somebody finds us with Krishna, what will happen? A report will go to Kamsa. And if Kamsa comes to know that we are bowing down to Krishna, then he may become angry with us. Probably he may punish us. So better not go. So from this easily we can understand that the Yajni Brahmins, the eighth offense against the holy name, says this, isn't it? Performing karma kanda, isn't it? Should not be equated to chanting of the holy name. It is like difference between earth and the sky. Like the chanting, the performance of the Vedic hymns is done by Brahmins simply out of some material desire for attaining the heaven or attaining some attaining some kind of material benefit. Whereas chanting the holy name is done purely. Even if it is not done purely, it is at least aimed at being done purely. It is chanting of the holy name is done by a pure devotee or by a mixed devotee with the aim of directly calling out Krishna. So it's much different compared to the chanting of Vedic hymns. You can see here the Brahmins are chanting the Vedic hymns, but then they don't have so much faith in Krishna. Although they are doing it for Vishnu. How can you know they have not so much faith? Because they have fear of Kamsa. A devotee is never supposed to be in fear. Like you see, when the cowherd boys in the forest, every day they were faced with so many demons. But every time a demon comes, they would take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna would kill the demons. And then they would proceed with their work. Or one time there was a forest fire which was engulfing them from all four directions, about to devour all the cowherd boys and their cows and calves. So at that time they were sitting in the bank of the river. So they were praying to Krishna, "Krishna, just see, there is fire coming from all sides. We don't know where to go. There is nowhere to go. So you are our only shelter." Then Krishna told them, Krishna wondered how to put out the fire by some way by which the cowherd boy should not be frightened. At the same time, the fire should be put off. Of course, Krishna is the God of all gods. He can just vanquish the fire in no moment, in one moment. But then he was planning to devour it. But then he thought, if the cowherd boys see me, just like they reported when I ate some little bit of dirt, they reported to Mother Yashoda that I ate dirt, and they made a big issue out of a small thing. So now also if I devour this fire, these cowherd boys will go and complain to Yashoda and I'll be in trouble. So he told all of them, "Now all of you close your eyes," he said. And immediately they closed their eyes. That is a sign of faith. And the cowherd boys did not even hesitate one moment. Now imagine if there is fire all around you, somebody tells you, "Close your eyes." You will ask him, "Are you not a fool? If you close my eyes, how can I save myself? Because if you close my eyes, I'll be burnt to ashes. Maybe you close the eyes, I'll find some way to escape." Isn't it? But the cowherd boys had complete faith in Krishna. So they closed their eyes. And within a moment, Krishna devoured. Either one moment, Krishna devoured the whole fire. And then he told them, "Now you open your eyes." They opened and saw it was all normal, green, lushy green forest with no fire, nothing. So it requires such faith. Will that faith come with knowledge? Yes, it may, or it may not. It's not necessary that one who acquires knowledge will necessarily develop faith. But out of the two, more important is faith. Knowledge alone will not bring us the desired result. So this cowherd boys had that type of faith, firm faith in Krishna. The Yajni Brahmins wives, they had a firm faith and they won the heart of Krishna. Although these Yajni Brahmins, they had fear. You see, always do you find in the bhakti literatures and pastimes like Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, there is a great emphasis on doing bhakti than simply accumulating knowledge alone. Like you see the cowherd boys in Vrindavan again, another pastime comes to my mind. When there was Aghasur with a wide open mouth, so they were all watching Aghasura's mouth. It was like a huge highway. And they all entered into mouth of Aghasura. They were proceeding inside. His mouth, dancing their way inside. There, in the sky, there were navy gods who were watching. They were very shocked. What is this cowherd boy doing? They are entering into the mouth of a huge serpent. And at last they were watching, what is Krishna going to do? That was their concern. Because they knew that Krishna is the protector, he is the Lord, he is the ultimate truth. The demigods knew that. So demigods are worried already that here is a big demon whose mouth is spread from earth to sky. And he has a very huge body. And a very vicious serpent, dangerous serpent. If Krishna is killed by him, then next to killing Krishna, he will come to kill us. That was our fear. Of course, Krishna cannot be killed by anyone. If somebody thinks Krishna could be killed, it has to be one out of the two. Either they are in intense love for Krishna, like Devaki or Yashoda or Vasudeva, they may be worried. or one doesn't have sufficient faith in Krishna. One has faith in material world also. One wants to hold on to the bank balance and relatives and police force and army force. One wants to take shelter of those things along with shelter of Krishna. So that if Krishna is in trouble, then I can take shelter of those things. Like that. So demigods are in which category? They were in second category, yeah. So of course they had faith that Krishna is great, but they thought that sometimes demons become more powerful, they thought. Sometimes demons may probably overpower the Lord, they thought like that. So when Krishna was watching all his friends entering into the mouth of Agasur, at last he also entered. And when Agasur, wide open mouth, was waiting, he was watching, when is Krishna entering my mouth? He was hoping that Krishna will enter, and Krishna entered his mouth, he immediately closed his mouth, as soon as Krishna went inside. That was his goal actually. He came there, why? To kill Krishna. Ordered by Kamsa. So as soon as Krishna entered the mouth, when Agasa closed the mouth, all the demigods, they cried out, alas, alas, alas. Now the Lord is also finished along with the covered boys. They experienced a great loss. So they were thinking, now that Krishna is finished, now we have no hope. Actually, the demigods drink Amrit to become immortal. So when you drink Amrit, of course you don't become immortal. You live very long. A very long life you live. But despite drinking Amrit, still the fear of death was not gone. They are going to live a very long life. Still they are fearful. And see the covered boys, they never drank Amrit. But they had no fear. Because they had complete faith in Krishna. Covered boys, they were simple friends of Krishna. They were in the forest of Raj. They had firm faith in Krishna. That Krishna will protect us. So when one develops this kind of faith in Krishna with no resources, with no facilities for enjoyment, with no facilities for protection, one can develop a very firm faith in Krishna. Avashya rakshibe Krishna. Arakshya satiti vishwaso gopatratve varanam tata. So this kind of faith is being demanded by the Lord in the scripture from his devotees. One should develop. When you talk of faith, faith has many facets. One part of faith is that which gives us faith that as Krishna will protect us. I can surrender to Krishna. I can surrender my consciousness. Actually, what is the advantage in developing that faith while chanting the holy name? While chanting the holy name, so many thoughts come in our mind. So many thoughts come. The worries about the examination. The worries about future. The worry about job, the worry about parents, worry about some disease in the body which you wonder whether it will be cured or it will get aggravated. There are so many worries that we all have. If you have a firm faith that Krishna will protect me, then that worry will be completely gone. Because you know that Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke, as we say. If Krishna wants to protect me, no power under the sun can destroy me or kill me. If Krishna wants to offer this suffering to me, no power under the sun can relieve me of this suffering. A devotee is convinced about it. See, if everything is in Krishna's hands, then why should we worry so much? Why should I worry about it so much? I worry about it so much because I think I am the controller. I think that I have some say, or I have some power, or I have some way by which I can alter the destiny, I have some way by which I can alter what's going to happen to me. Because of which we tend to lose faith in Krishna. It's a very subtle thing, we may not even know. But we can see that the mind is constantly being haunted by thoughts of how to do this, how to do that. The mind has a nature of sankalpa vikalpa, means accepting and rejecting. Mind is constantly processing information that are coming in and going out, not just one or two, like a parade of thoughts, marching left, right, left, right, they're coming. And you're wondering, my Lord, so many thoughts coming out of the mind and going into the mind. And all of them are coming in a queue and just coming and standing in front of you. Come on, attend to me right now. And then one thought you attend and you're moving aside. The next thought, okay, sir, what about me? And then one after another they are offering themselves to you. And then you wonder, what is this? I have been tirelessly now out of 2 hours, 1 hour I have attended to my thoughts. At least next 1 hour, please kindly relieve me. Thoughts say, no, nothing doing. Unless you finish this business, we are not going to let you chant. And then you find, even after 2 hours of thinking, processing those thoughts which are coming and standing in front of you, you will find, still they are not finished. Still they say, okay, we will wait for tomorrow. So they will offer themselves to you tomorrow morning again. So there is no hope of getting rid of these thoughts very easily without developing firm faith that it is Krishna who can solve these problems, not me. Coward boys never endeavored to kill any gopa, any of the demons themselves. No gopa endeavored to kill any demon. You will not hear any pastime like that. Do you hear in Krishna book anywhere? You know, there was Krishna Balaram and any coward boy said, Krishna, you may be too tired, so we will kill the demon. You don't hear that. So, always devotees pray to Krishna. They have firm faith in Krishna's strength. They have firm faith in Krishna's protection. So they pray only to Him. And Krishna naturally does His job very expertly. Far more expertly than we might have to do. Even if we endeavor, probably we may not be able to do so well. We may not do a good job. Krishna can do the best job. So, praying to Krishna, taking a shelter, is actually the prerogative of a devotee. A jnani or a yogi may have full confidence on his own strength or his own abilities. Just like Vishvamitra is creating a Trishanku Swarga. He is creating a planet at will using the Ishita Siddhi. But then after he created the planet, he himself was in trouble. When the planet he created started whirling madly in all directions, it appeared that it's going to hit on him only. So it appeared that it's going to destroy the people of the world. So Vishvamitra was in big trouble. Later on he shouted the name of Hari, plugging his ears. Oh Lord Hari, please protect me. He shouted. And when Lord Vishnu came, Vishnu asked him, what happened to you? He said, I could create a planet according to my desire, but I could not control it. This is very true with modern scientists also. They can create a missile or a bomb or a scud or something like that. I remember when I was in school days, they had this Skylab. You know Skylab? Skylab is a rocket. It's they sent up, but then it was coming down now. And they could not stop it. So now they were crying. They announced in all the newspapers, all people be careful. The Skylab may fall anytime, anywhere. And they approximately predicted where it is likely to fall. And they told the people, be cautious. And people asked, what kind of caution you want us to take? And scientists said, only thing is when it falls, then they said something like several miles. How many miles? Something like probably 20 miles or something. Radius will be totally burnt to ashes. So people asked, you don't know exactly where it is going to fall. And even if it is going to fall in our area, what caution we can take, that also you don't know. Scientists said that the only caution we can tell you is that you will be burnt alive. That's all we know. And we don't know. But we are just informing you so that it will not be too much a thing to tolerate for you. So in advance only we are telling you that you are going to die, that's all. But we are not telling you that you will die. Wherever it falls, they will die. So they couldn't fall in. At last, with a tremendous effort, so much of expenditure of wealth and everything, they diverted it into the ocean. And it fell into the ocean. So, man many times makes things, but he himself cannot control it. You can see that many times. Just like a parent, a husband and wife, they produce a child. And the child gives so much trouble to parents. They cannot. Sometimes parents say that probably I begot you. All my sons have taken the shape of my son, they say. All my sins. Sometimes the son gives so much trouble to the parents. So we may create a child or we may create a scientific equipment, which we ourselves may not be able to control later. Whereas Lord is actually controlling everything, the whole creation. Maya, Adyakshena, Prakriti. he says. Everything is under his grip. That's a famous verse in Vishnu Sahasranama. You all can repeat this verse. Na krodho na cha matsaryo, na lobho na shubhamatihi, bhavanti krita punyanam, bhaktanam purushottame. It's a very nice meaning. It says nalo, nakrodo means no anger. Devotees of Krishna, bhaktanam purushottame. Lord Purushottama's devotees, they have no anger. Nakrodo, nachamatsaryo means they have no matsarya. Matsarya means they have no envy. Na lobho means they have no greed. Na ashubhamatihi, na ashubhamati. Ashubhamati means inauspicious mind or inauspicious perverted intelligence. Devotees of the Lord don't have it. And then he says, bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktyanam purushottame. The bhaktas are always performing Krishna conscious activities for the pleasure of Lord Purushottama. And then he says, dhyausa chandrarka nakshatra khandisho bhur mahodadihi vasudevasya veeryena vidritani mahatmanah. Sir is saying, dhyausa chandrarka nakshatra kam dishah bhur maho dadhi. Practically everything is included. He says the sky, the bhumi, the stars, the sun, the moon, the oceans, wind, everything is controlled by Vasudevasya Viryena. What is Vasudevasya Viryena means? By the potency of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. All these things are controlled. And then he says, Sasurasura Gandharva Sayakshoragarakshasam Jagatvashe Vartatedam Krishnasya Sacharacharam. So this means Sa-Asura-Asura. Asura and Sura, both. Suras are the demigods and Asuras are demons. Sasurasura Gandharva, Gandharvas. Sayakshoraga, Uraga are the Nagas. Rakshasam means all Rakshasas. So all different categories are included in this. And all these people, and these people and many more categories of people. Jagat. Jagat consisting of all kinds of people. Vashe means, what is the meaning of the word Vashe? Here in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord uses this word Vashe. What is that? Sarvabhutani kanteya prakriti nyanti mamikam kalpakshaye punastani kalpada visjamyaham. Before that one was. Isn't it? That's one. I think 9.5 or 6. Sorry, 9.5 or 6. Yeah. So that also he says Vashe. The word Vashe is used. Vashe means control. Jagat Vashe Vartatedam Krishnasya Sacharacharam. He says the whole world consisting of all these personalities whom I told you now and many more, it's under whose control? Jagat Vashe. Krishna says a characharam. This characharam means charachara, this world consisting of living and non-living beings. It's under complete control of Krishna. A devotee should perceive this. When a devotee sees this, then the desire to control evaporates. When a devotee understands, oh, the whole world is under Krishna's clutches. Krishna's control. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Pingala, there is some Pingala, one lady. So she gets this realization. She says that the whole globe, this earth, is near the mouth of the Kala Sarpa. She's seeing like this. If this is the globe, like this. The Kala Sarpa is about to devour the globe. So she's seeing, this is the vision she is getting in her mind. She's telling, what is this material world? Everything is created and destroyed in no time. Nobody can predict who will die when. Who will get what problem when. Nobody can predict. Everything is in the clutches of the Kala Sarpa. So Kala is another form of Krishna. Krishna, because Krishna says, Kalosmyaham Lokachaya Kritpa Vriddho. Or another place he says, Mrityu Sarvaharashchaham. So another form of Kala. So she is seeing Krishna in that form, that Krishna is having everything in his control, like that. In the same way, if we pray to the Lord to give us this realization, that everything is in his control, not in our control, and he can alter anything he wants. He can change the seasons, he can change the fate of anyone. Like Krishna changed the fate of Arjuna by blocking the sun with his Sudarshan Chakra. Isn't it? Lord can change your fate. So, actually by any amount of our personal endeavor we cannot change our fate. But Lord can change our fate if he wants. So if one has that faith, then one will be able to very firmly take shelter of Krishna. Actually, the thoughts gradually become calmed down, gradually. The more one develops faith in Krishna, one knows anyway, whatever is going to happen will happen. Better leave it to Krishna. Mind becomes very calm, cool and collected. Because you understand that it's not me who is the doer of things. Krishna is the doer. I am only an initiator of desires. Krishna is the ultimate doer. So, this is a very most wanted thing for a sadhaka, a calm mind. Not only bhaktas, a bhakta yogi, jnana yogi, ashtanga yogi, everyone wants a calm mind. In fact, the goal of attaining calm mind is to ultimately achieve the desired object. For example, if you ask a jnani, he wants to calm down his mind and come to a stage of equipoised nature. What is that nature? Brahma bhuta prasannatma. Nasho chati, nakamshati. This is the aspiration of a jnana yogi. He wants to come to a stage where the mind is completely calm. It's not agitated by the attractions of the world. It's not lamenting owing to the sufferings of the world. He wants a very calm mind. Similarly, yogi also. In the sixth chapter, yogi said, how a yogi meditates. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. See, pashyan atmani. He wants to see the soul. Tushyati. Then he can attain satisfaction. But for that, what does he need? Yatra uparamate chittam. Uparamate is to calm down the mind. Because the mind is calm, the example is given of a lamp kept in a windless place, which does not waver. If you keep a lamp in a completely secluded place where there is no wind, it just stands still. So they want a still mind. Because when the mind is still, then water doesn't move, you can see your face clearly in the water. Then water is having ripples. Then you see, you can't see the face, it's all distorted. So the water has to be calm and serene. So a yogi also tries to calm down the mind from all kinds of diversions and distraction. Krishna says that, sanishchayena yogtavyo. Nishchayena means with full determination. My dear Arjuna, you should engage in that meditation. Sanishchayena yogtavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Anirvinna means, undivided or undistracted. Chetasa. Don't allow the mind to go anywhere else. Just in a one-pointed way, do yoga, he says. Yogo anirvinna chetasa. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam stektva sarvan asheshataha. He's saying, sankalpa means by the mind's desires. Sankalpa means accepting that processing I was telling you. Because of the processing of the mind, what's happening? Sankalpa prabhavan means originate. Kamam means desires. Sankalpa prabhavan kamam tyaktva is a. Tyaktva means to give up. Sarvan, not some desires you can keep and others you give up. Sarvan is this. All of them you give up. You remove from the mind completely. Taktva sarvan. Asheshataha. Don't keep only one desire. Shesh means baki. Don't keep some with you and some you give up. Asheshataha, he says. Completely one should clean out the mind of all desires. One should not allow any desires to be hovering in the mind when one is chanting the holy name or you're doing yoga. So, all the spiritualists know this fact that if one can control the mind, then Paramatma is achieved. Jitatmana Prashantatma. If you conquer the mind, then you become a Prashantatma. Prashant means it is more than Shant. It's a double Shanti. One gets Prashant Atma means completely serene and satisfied. No aspiration. Like for example, somebody may externally give up the objects, but internally be contemplating on them. He is not Prashant. But externally and internally, one has given up all kinds of attractions and allurements and lamentation and illusions and everything. So he becomes a Prashantatma. Jitatmana. If you conquer the mind, you become a Prashantatma. Paramatma Samadhi. He says, one attains a Paramatma very easily. Because the mind has two options. One option is to dwell on the objects of the world. Another option is Paramatma. He can dwell on any one of the two. But God has made our mind in such a way that as soon as you remove this one option, then mind automatically flows towards other options. He has made like that. That's how the mind is designed. What do you call it in PNP, NPN junction and all? You have flip-flop, you have, right? You know this, isn't it? That means if you remove one option, it goes to another, correct? Yeah, what is that option? You know this? Have you heard this, huh? Yeah? Huh? Toggle, you call it, isn't it? So mind works like a toggle. Now you all will understand what is toggle, isn't it? So if you remove the option of contemplation on material objects of this world, what happens to mind? By default it goes to focus on super soul. See the wonder, how fortunate we are. So it is Lord's mercy that he has created the mind in that manner. That's why he says, Jitatmana, you control the mind, Prashantasya, mind becomes calm. Paramatma Samahita. One has already achieved the super soul even while being in this world. What is of going to spiritual world? Even while being in this world, if one can avoid this constant series of thoughts that keep haunting the mind, then one can very easily focus on the super soul. Every day we all chant Hare Krishna. When we chant, we find that our mind wanders. And because the mind is wandering here and there, it is like a ocean with high tides sometimes. Or it may not have high tides, it may have low tides. Or it may not have low tides, at least some ripples are forming. When you throw the stone in a pond, it forms ripples, isn't it? So many ripples are formed in that. Similarly, one thought you throw, and then there are waves of thoughts that come out of it. Another thought you throw, again there are ripples formed. So we are not able to see the Atman. Pashyan Atmani Tushyati. We are not able to see. And when you cannot see the soul and super soul, then Sukham Atyantikam Jatat Buddhigrahyam Atindriyam Veti Yatra Na Chaivayam Stitaschalati Tatpatah Yam Ladvacha Param Labam Manyate Nadikam Tatah Yasmin Stito Nadukena Guruna Pibichalyate. This is the state we want to attain. He says, Yam Labdva. Before that, what is that verse? Sukham Atyantikam. We are not able to experience that Atyantika Sukh. Atyantika means unlimited. Sukham Atyantikam Jadda. Buddhi Grahyam Ati Indriyam. It's beyond the range of the senses. That experience of spiritual bliss is inexplicable in words. One will experience that only when one focuses the mind on the Lord. Otherwise one cannot experience that kind of joy. And then he says, Sukham Atyantikam Yatat Buddhigrahyam Atindriyam Vetiyatrana Chaivayam Stitaschalati Tattvatah Stitaschalati Tattvatah. And then he says, Yam Labdva. If you attain that bliss, Yam Labdva means to achieve. Cha aparam lavam manyate na adhikam tataha. There is no more bliss beyond that, he says. That's the highest bliss one can ever achieve, the spiritual bliss. Manyate na adhikam tataha. Na adhikam. Adhikam, you know the word adhikam? Adhik means more. Na adhikam tataha. A devotee feels, oh, there is no greater joy than this. Yasmin sthithona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate. If you are situated in that platform, gurunapi vichalyate, even if the toughest of the tough adversities come in your life, you will not budge one inch from that place. Gurunapi vichalyate. Gurunapi means the most difficult situation in life may come, but vichalyate means you will not shake. It's like a boat that is anchored to the shore. may move this way, that way, but it will never get carried away by the storm. Even if a heavy storm comes, the boat will remain in its position. It will not get carried away. Imagine a boat is not anchored. What will happen? It will just get carried away in the middle of the ocean and undergo a wreck and break into pieces. Whereas a boat which is anchored, just like this anchored, then what happens? Then a boat is very safe. So we have to anchor our mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. Then we can anchor our mind to the holy names of Krishna. Completely root it in the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So do not allow the mind to wander. Again and again we focus on hearing the holy name. And the mind wanders, tatastato niyam yaitat atmani yeva vasham na yet. So we have to strenuously endeavor. If we don't strenuously endeavor and let the mind wander, then we will not make much progress in this yoga. If you want to make progress, then one has to make a strenuous endeavor. Alas, again the mind has gone away. I catch him again. Bring him back. Hare Krishna, it goes on. Alas, get him. Gone again. So, that means chanting should be a struggle every day. At the end of the chanting, if you feel that, yes, I did a good struggle today, that means you are a success. If you didn't do struggle, somebody thinks, oh, chanting was very cool, Prabhuji. Why it was cool? I could complete all my plan making for the entire semester. Then that means you have not won. The mind has defeated you. You have lost. Mind has won. So let us see today whether you win or your mind wins. We will see. But how do we win? We don't win by conquering the mind, but by taking shelter of Krishna, who is the master of the mind. He can control the mind. We can't control. Harina Prabhu ki Hare Krishna.